Let's talk
relationships on You Me Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.
So to those on YouTube, I want to give a big shout out to those who are listening live on UME Radio. We are so glad that you are here to keep our company tonight. We're going to have an awesome time with you tonight.
Oh, yes, we will. Yes, we will. We're getting ready for this. So we had a great time last week. Awesome
yes,
time.
Yes, we did. Yes, we
and
did.
Those who missed it, missed the real big song last week. You know, where we sang about the body parts, and that was quite new, adventurous, but we had a great time with that, so.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. So, welcome again to Let's Talk Relationships on UME Radio, and we're here tonight. Our topic for tonight is how important is supporting your partner's dreams? So, how important is supporting your partner's dreams, and that's a huge one. So we're gonna dive
yes,
in tonight
is.
And maybe break some bread and see what happens, right?
That's right.
There we go.
Before we continue, I wanted to say thanks to our sponsors. You know, every week we come on air, we can't do this without them.
Uh-huh.
So we want to thank UMEDigitalInc.com. We want to thank My Coach Ministry. Please check out their courses on Udemy and AccessBusinessStreet.com. And AccessBusinessStreet.com is an empowerment tool to help business pros build around their ministry. We also want to say a big, big thank you to Shop and Own.
Yeah.
And Shop and Own is a one-stop shop for all those brand builders out there and influencers seeking to build their own brand. And I want to tell our listeners and viewers out there that once you access any of these platforms, we have a discount code for you. So just go on any of those, whether it's umedigital.inc.com. I'm sorry, UME Digital. That's umedigital.inc. That's right. And our Access Ministry or My Coach Ministry or Shop and Own, any of those. And we have a discount code for you. And that code is LTR save. That's
LTR save. And guys, it's UME Digital Inc.
Yes. INC. Yes.
UME Digital Inc.
That's right.
That's how we get.
So go check them out, guys, and we'll have great, great discounts for you.
Yes, we will.
Right. So we're moving into hot topics.
Feeling hot, huh? I'm feeling hot tonight.
Feeling hot.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So tonight we'll be talking about Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. And we'll be watching a script. Is she black enough? What a question. Are you black enough? Is she black enough? Well, we'll be listening to a clip from Daily Show host Trevor Noah.
Democratic nominee. But the convention is only half over because tonight the big speakers were Barack Obama and Kamala Harris, the first ever black woman to be nominated for VP. Although according to conservative media, she might not be black enough.
Some have challenged her racial identity and criticized her for identifying as black when her parents are Jamaican and Indian.
When we talk about, quote, African American, her father is from Jamaica. He isn't from Africa, he's from Jamaica. So she's not really an American black.
Kamala Harris is not an African American. If you dare raise that, you're attacked. But the truth is she's not.
She's not African American. She doesn't have slave blood. She's not down for the struggle.
She's constantly talking how she went to an historically black college. She is adopting Oakland as her hometown, even though she grew up from the age of 7 to the age of 18 in Canada.
Kamala Harris descended from the largest slave owner in Jamaica. Kamala Harris seems to be descended less from the legacy of, let's say, Frederick Douglass than she is from the legacy of the plantation itself.
Wow, that is fascinating. And I know a lot of people haven't heard that before, Dinesh.
Okay, first of all, being partly descended from a slave owner is one of the blackest things that can happen to you. In fact, you know who was also the descendant of a slave owner? Frederick Douglass. Yeah. So the guy you just tried to use as an example of someone who is super black is also, by your metric, not black enough. Look, ma'am, you can dissect Kamala Harris's heritage however you want. But to say she's not black? Ask yourself this question. Is she black enough to get kicked out of a restaurant back in the day in the Jim Crow South? Huh? Would she have been black enough to get redlined? Is she black enough to be kept out of a whites-only school as a little girl? Then she's black. People want to be like, oh, you're not black, you're not black. There's a little simple test here. You know how you know you're black? If you're dating a white person, and before you meet their parents for the first time, they start a sentence with, hey, listen, so before we head inside, you're black. And what's especially ironic about these people trying to exclude Kamala from blackness is that it's the reverse of what white America did for centuries, defining as many people as black as possible, whether they wanted it or not.
Color and who qualifies as black, who qualifies as white, has historically been policed not by those who were the targets of oppression, but by those who set up the system of oppression.
In America, blackness was defined by that auction block. You were black if you could be put on that auction block and sold as property.
Following the abolition of slavery, some Americans feared a rise in interracial relationships. So states began passing laws to make sure that any child with even one drop of Negro blood would be classified as Negro and denied the rights of white people. This became known as the one drop rule.
The one drop rule was an attempt to save the so-called purity of the white race.
By 1925, nearly every state had a form of the one drop rule on their books.
All you need is one person, five generations back, who is black, and that is enough to make you black.
Seriously?
Yeah, and I say like Trevor Noah, seriously?
You know, it's a time in our world where you can't say it right enough. And you can't say it's like it doesn't even matter anymore, right? Yeah, it's amazing how they have selective times when they determine who is black and when you're black and when you're not. You know, at one time, Tiger wasn't black enough. You know, at one time, some of these people who excelled weren't black enough. You know, and they finally went to silver. Well, they're half wigs, they're mixed, they're white and black. So, but I like what the gentleman said about the fact that, you know, there was a time when you could not eat at their restaurant, the time when you could not take their in mm-hmm. front of their bus. There was a time when you could not go to their schools. And yes. So what were you then? You know, I like how you brought that point up. But again, you know, it's a very interesting thing happening now.
You know, as I listen to Trevor Noah all the time, because, you know, I think he's a wonderful commentator and he's a great journalist. And I just listening to this clip alone, and when I listen to, because I listen to it over and over, and just saying, so you're only allowed to be black if you are not successful.
Ah, good point.
So being black and being successful don't go in the same lane, because wow. Once there's success attached to your name, shame. Mm-hmm. They want to find another race to give you. Okay, so you're mixed, or you know, you're of Indian descent. I heard one person saying, you know, she didn't come from, you know, the line of slave owners. She doesn't know the black struggle. And I'm like, what? What does that even have to do with this successful woman? So if she wasn't successful, she'd be black. She'd be a black woman. Because in her race coming up, I remember the time in the presidential race where they had the women coming out, when we had AOC and all those women running in the race. She was a black woman then. Wasn't she? Nobody was talking about whether she had Jamaican heritage or Indian heritage at that time. Mm-hmm. Now she's on the ticket, and now she's not black enough because she has gotten that far. I don't get that. So once you have success on you or tagged to you, or you get to a level, it's not, being black is not good enough. You have to be mixed with something, because amazing. Success and power can't be from black alone. No, it has to be mixed with something. You have to get it from, you know, a white auntie or something nearby. That is so wrong.
But what's weird about it was that you mentioned about Jamaican, you know, and his daddy's Jamaican and his mom was...
Yeah. Yes,
was Indian.
Yes.
So I guess back in those, when they had the slave trade, they were shipped all over. Some went in Cuba, some went in Jamaica. They were all over. And so therefore, you know, they might be from different tribes, a different thing in Africa, but they are black. Yeah. I mean, from that part of the world, coming here. Mm-hmm. So it's funny how they try to dissect those things and try to make it seem like
I don't know, DJ. I don't know, because even listening to the earlier part of the excerpt, I heard when one person was saying she's not African American, so is there a African American black different from a Caribbean black? Is black important? You know, does that define whether or not you're going to do a good job in the office or not? I mean, come on. I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the world we're in, my dear. That's the world that we're in.
Yeah. So.
And it's a constant fight and struggle, huh? To actually get there.
Yes. My closing statement is just like Trevor's. Seriously? That's my closing statement, because I don't understand the rationale behind why you can't be just a person being successful, just being a woman being successful. You have to always find these things, especially with the black community. You have to find all these things, trying to figure out why she's successful because she's black. She's not black enough. Is she black enough? Will she cater to the black community? I think it's just a big distraction.
Yeah. Folks, we listen to Let's Talk Relationships, and we are on UMU Radio. We have a special guest coming up soon. Her name is Joan Blair. She's just in a few moments, she'll be joining us for a very special conversation. But yes, Misty, it is really the time that we're living in. So I said, must have changed, but at the same time, must haven't changed.
That's right.
And it really is the kind of world we're in. And it's for us to know that we have to teach our young and to love who they are, to accept who they are, to really instill in them a high sense of worth, of value. I like what Beyonce did lately when she did the film Black is King.
Yeah.
You know, and I think as we see these given events happening in our world, I think there's an awakening. There is a somewhat of a consciousness and blacks need to be unified, you know, whether it's financially or economically or, you know, even religiously, we got to be more unified to combat this amazing, I would say, pressure against us as a people. So, yeah, we're here tonight to have a great time. And, you know, we are going to be having an also guest in the second part of the Life Moments as well.
Yes. So our guest in the Life Moments segment is Mr. Horain Henry. He's an entrepreneur and he's just doing an awesome job with production and technology. And we're going to hear more about him as the night progresses.
Yes, we are.
Yes. So you're listening to Let's Talk Relationships. We are moving into our first segment for the night. But before we do that, we're going for a break. When we come back from that break, we're going to be having a little laugh buster about our topic. I'll tell you more about it when we come back.
Yes, we will. We're back.
Yes, we are.
Here on Let's Talk Relationships. And again, we want to thank our sponsors, Yumi Digital Marketplace. Guys, we have great stuff there for you. Those looking to brand yourself, brand development, from your podcast to your websites to your informational classes and training and just networking. We are here, so check them out. That's Yumi Digital Media, Inc., all right? That's your marketplace. Lady Misty.
Yes, sir.
All right.
All right. So tonight, we are going to be talking to the lovely Miss Joan Blair. And tonight's topic, just to remind those who are listening and those who are watching, is, are you obligated to support your partner's dreams? Are you obligated? Is it mandatory? Do you have to? Do you wanna? And we're gonna be talking about that tonight. So our guest tonight is Miss Joan Blair, and she is a proud realtor of Orlando Regional Realtor Association and a member of the National Association of Realtors. She has over 10 years of experience in the real estate industry, and she has worked extensively in this field. In addition, and I like this, she and her siblings work together. They partner in business to educate families about building and protecting themselves, their wealth, and leaving a legacy for generations to come. I love that.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. And she wants each transaction to be a pleasant and a memorable one. So, good night, Lady Blair. How are we tonight?
Good night, Lady Misty. I'm doing well. I'm doing fantastic, actually.
Oh, that's great. We are so happy to have you.
Thank you so much. We are indeed happy to have you too.
Yes, really, really great having you here, Joanne. Really, really great.
Thank you so much.
Yes, I was reading reading your bio, and I'm saying that's awesome stuff. What made you want to go into being a realtor?
Well, at first, I came from the hospitality industry. Okay. And so I had that background to interact with people on all different levels. Mm-hmm. When I became a realtor, I remember the first time I bought a house, and just the experience I had during that time, I thought it could have been a better experience because of the way it went when that transaction happened. And I thought that's something I know as an individual, I would like to assist people to having a better experience.
Yeah.
And so doing that, I said the best way to do is to become a realtor so I could guide these people through, you know, that kind of transaction. So when I became a realtor, I joined the company that my sister and I worked on tirelessly to get done. We had our motto, which says, our experience would be your best investment. And so
that's right.
That's our slogan. And in emphasizing the experience part of it, I think when people have such a good experience going through their transactions, they will also see that too as a big investment. So that was my main reason.
That's great.
So let me just throw this in there, Joanne.
Hi, Keith.
Yeah. You know, when I say Joanne, what that means. It means we go way back.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because sometimes you know someone for a long time and you get disconnected. You know, somehow folks migrate, they move different places, and you lose that contact. And years later, somehow divinely, you get reconnected again. And you see what the person is doing, you see what they are, and you see what you're doing, and it just lines up. Because as I hear you answer the question a while ago, I hear empowerment. You wanted to empower people.
Right.
You had an experience, and you say, you know something, how can I make it better for someone else?
Right.
And that's the idea. That's the idea. So being a realtor, have you had that transcend to different countries, or mainly is it only in Florida region only, or is it countrywide for you, or how do you navigate that?
I'm licensed for the state of Florida. However, we are connected to different realtors by a network where we usually refer business outside of the state of Florida.
Okay.
And beyond. So we do different countries by referrals. Right. And so we have this network that we work with where we refer people to reputable realtors to handle their transaction on our behalf.
Nice. Okay. So again, you're showing the power of not just network, but you're showing the power of teamwork.
Right.
Yeah, I like
that.
You
just want to get the job done.
Yeah.
And done to the level that we expect it to be done.
Nice. That's very good.
Right.
Wow. I heard you talking about, Ms. Blair, you know, your motto, your mantra, which talks about your experiences with your transaction, making sure that every experience is a memorable one. And you know, tonight we're talking about support. How important is support in relationships? Now, I know you work with your siblings. I don't know if it's brother or sister, but both. Well, great. So we not only talk about, you know, partners as in husband and wife and spouses, also relationship goes way beyond just that. So what has that been like, having your siblings as your support system? You know, are you guys fighting all the time, decisions to be made? You know, what has that been like?
Well, the family we're from, we're very close. We're a very close-knitted family. And we make it a part of our duty to invest in each other's success.
Great.
Make it intentional that we support each other to make sure we all succeed. Not just one person succeed, but that we all succeed. So wherever one is short on, you know, whatever side they're short on, you know, whatever your strengths are, we try to combine with everyone to make sure everyone succeeds.
That's great.
Right. We are so busy, we don't have time to fight.
I do understand that.
We are so busy, we don't have time to fight. And if we do have a disagreement, you know, we can handle that maturely and keep going. Because, you know,
on a broader scale.
That personal.
Yes.
So
on a broader scale though, you know, I know we are often likened to black crabs in a barrel, you know, black people, because we always pulling each other down, and we are not famous. We are not famous for, you know, being supportive of each other. And, you know, especially as a black woman, a strong, you know, successful black woman, what has been, you know, the support like from, you know, the community and from friends and so on, that kind of relationship? Has it been a good one? Do you see the support coming from, say, the white community as opposed to the black community, or it has been the same?
Well, first of all, a lot of people admire the fact, because I guess it's not very common to see siblings working together.
That's right.
Actually having some longevity in doing that.
Nice.
And so we get a lot of admiration for at least working together. We go to a lot of events together. We're most of the time we're out there together. And we protect each other. We defend each other. We represent each other. And so it's not a concept that a lot of people, especially here, are accustomed to. But that's something we can introduce to them. Because we want them to know that you can support each other. We have different cultures and ethnic groups that do support each other. They take care of their family, you know, they make sure they succeed, they set up business for their family so that they can leave a legacy for, you know, other generations. So that's something we try to do when we do business. And so, we get the support from both, you know, the local community, our Jamaicans, our families, business associates that we've worked with in the past. And I think it's because they see the unity that we have. We don't believe in that crab in a bucket mentality.
Yes.
You know, we're about building and extending and leaving a mark. So, you know, that's just how we are. So how we are perceived, I think that helps people to support us.
Yes.
One question here, because since I've been here in the States, you know, I've had persons, I mean, not really appreciating my Jamaican heritage, you know, coming here and we are taking over their thing, you know, and we are ambitious. They always look at them, and you know, the Americans, a lot of the Black Americans, not all of them, but there's a overall idea that, you know, we as Caribbeans are coming here and taking away their jobs and taking away the opportunity. Have you faced those dynamics in your being a realtor and that kind of thing?
We have, and we always have an answer for those comments that we do sometimes get. The thing is, we want them to know, we just came here. You were already here. We thought you already had the resources available to you. We came here and we took advantage of what we were given at the time we were given.
That's
therefore
right.
Sometimes it depends on how individual looks at themselves, what they are capable of accomplishing, and at what time they want to do it.
Right.
We know the timeline we have when we get here and what we want to get done.
Yes.
So it's all about the individual. And I said, you know, we didn't start at the same starting line. You know, you were here before we did, and we would assume you would be ahead of us, but that's a choice you made. And it's all about the choices we make.
Yeah.
And the choice we made is to take advantage
of, right,
you know, what we were given, and to, you know, to whom much is given, much is required.
Much is required, yeah.
And so we thought you had much, but obviously you didn't do much with what you had. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we came here, we took the knowledge that we could get, and we applied it. Mm-hmm. In college, we did the same thing. And, you know, in business, it's the same thing. But as I always say, they always say knowledge is power. And a lot of people think, oh, you know, we have the knowledge, we did it, but it's applied knowledge that should be counted. That's where, yes, the power is. When that's you, right, apply the knowledge that you get. And so that's what we do. We just apply the knowledge, you know, and that's how we make sure we get ahead, by applying what we knew and, you know, make it.
That's right. For those who are listening to us, just reminding you that we are speaking with Miss Joan Blair. If you have any questions or comments, please remember to WhatsApp those comments or questions to 201-503-6731. That's 201-503-6731. We are eager to hear from you. So Miss Blair, I want to throw a little spill in the wheel right here. I don't know if my producer has that little laughter buster, but I want to play it and I want to hear your view on it.
Understand that a man wants a woman who encourages him without nagging him. He wants a woman who believes in his dreams, even though she know he can't do it. Your man come home talking about he done quit his good ass job at the post office because he want to be an astronaut. Don't say shit. Just pull out your sewing machine and make him an astronaut outfit because you believe in him. Mix him up some Tang, slice him up some cheese, tell him get up, you're going to be late for the moon. Push him out the door, tell him call me when you get a break on the moon. Now, you know you want to laugh, but don't ever laugh in your man's face because you're going to break his spirit. But wait for him to get in the car. Go get your cell phone. Call your girlfriend and go, bitch. Let me tell you what he said he wanted to be today, girl. Said he wanted to be an astronaut, bitch. Yeah. I made him an outfit. Look out the window. Here he got, bitch. Here he go.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
All right. So that was courtesy of @Mally_H. And oh. I want to hear, how important is it really, really, really to support, you know, each other, your partner, your family, etc.? You know, do you do it because, you know, it's really good to do?
You've been dragged into it and you got to do it.
Do you got to do it. Do you keep lying to them? How important is that kind of support?
Well, you know what, with the personality I have, I just, you know, you have to be realistic. And if you are dealing with a partner, whether it's your spouse or your siblings, communication and how you communicate to that person will basically give you the guideline to how you're gonna be realistic in telling them, yes, this can happen. I'm invested in your personal growth. I'm committed to helping you. Or it will tell them, listen, we have to be realistic here. This is where we are. This is where you want to go. I want to see how we're going to get there. And that's where we have to be realistic about it. Let's look at the process. And as I said, no matter if it's your spouse or your sibling, I think communication is the key, because in communicating with them, if they, you know, you have that openness in communicating with this individual, at least you'll be able to at least convey what you're trying to say, that, listen, if it's something that's realistic, I'm committed, I'm invested in your personal growth, and I'm going to support you. And it's going to be intentional. I'm going to make sure that you succeed at this. But if it's something, you know, that's not realistic, we're going to have to talk. And that's why you have to come to Jesus, me.
We're going to have to talk. All right. I understand we have a caller tonight. We have a caller to call in. Is Coach there? Good night.
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I can. Good night.
Hello, Miss Blair. I cannot wait to have you on my show.
Okay. Good night. How are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. I have a question for you.
Yes,
ma'am. I got so emotional when you were talking. You are so right. Like, we have to get to a place of supporting each other and finding a way of working together. But when you spoke about getting, I remember getting my first home and it was so unpleasant.
Oh, I wish you met me first.
I wish I had too. And then I had just lost my dad too, so I didn't really like it. It was just miserable for me. But so I, as you were there talking, I got so emotional. I didn't even know it was there. But I have this question for you, because I find that I'm an entrepreneur at heart. Okay. And I love to empower people. And I'm a success coach. So when I see people, oftentimes, the moment we start engaging, like, I can see the potential, right? Okay. And sometimes I have to remind myself, like, you have to wait until they're ready. But when you have those persons who you're actually working with, and they're in your space and they're partners with you, how do you mobilize them into action, or how do you support them in a way that it can be harmonious to all involved? Like, I would love to know, what was that startup process like for you and your siblings? What were some of the challenges that you faced that you had to work on ironing out? That, because I think partnerships are things that we really have to be intentional about, as you say, and it's something that we really have to decide, okay, I have to make a commitment to be in it with you. And a lot of times persons get access to you and not understand the value of that access they have to you, and sometimes abuse it, right? And then it becomes where now you have to make that decision of whether or not that person should continue to have that access to you, have your ear, you know? So how was the startup process for you, and how do you iron out those kinks, and how do you create an enabling environment whilst making it harmonious without sacrificing yourself?
Well, for us, I can say, first of all, my mother was actually the inspiration behind us being entrepreneurs. She always had that dream of us all owning our own business. When we came to this country, we all worked for the same company in the hospitality industry. And after, you know, being there for a while, you know, she thought it was time for us to, you know, go out there and follow our dreams. But whatever the dreams were, she wanted to make sure that as siblings, we kept it together. We were always there together, supporting each other and making sure each other succeed. However, she knew we all have different personalities. And as I said earlier, with any relationship, communication is the key. Being honest and open, just being yourself, being honest and open to the person, telling the person, listen, I'm saying this to you in love. I wish you the best. This is my intentions. And if you know that person and you know they have your best interest at heart, then you know, right, it's, you know, you will have, you know, constructive criticisms in mm-hmm. some areas. Mm-hmm. You will have discussions about, you know, whether this is the right move to make mm-hmm. or this is the right investment to make.
Right.
But as long as you can communicate, right, so you can see the whole picture, and then you say, right, well, you know what? It's something to consider. And for my siblings, okay, if I say something to them, because of the reputation I have,
uh-huh,
it's, you know, I've built that relationship with them that they know, I think we need to consider this. And then even if okay, it's something that they don't agree with, they'll come back and say, I understand where you're coming from. I understand the direction you're looking at. But this is what we want to do. And then, you know, sometimes we agree to disagree. And this takes maturity. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. It takes maturity to really be in a relationship where you can value each other, you know, opinions, commitments. Right.
Yeah.
So the bottom line to everything, I always say, is communication. Whether it's a spouse or a sibling, it's always communication.
Okay.
And that's what we've been doing. You know, even if we hurt each other's feelings, we know it's not for a long period of time.
Yes.
We'll get over it. You know, so, but I think it's just having that open communication, you know, if it's with your spouse, you know, it's an emotional openness that you would have to have with the spouse. So they know you have their best interests at heart.
Nice.
And, you know, that's just how we operate here.
I love it. And I have more questions, but I'm not going to take over their show. I'll wait for my turn.
Hey. Yeah. Amen.
All right. So, is that Raquel?
Yes, that was Raquel. Thank you so much, Raquel.
It was me.
Oh, thank you. All right. Yes.
Thank you for calling us, coach.
Yes, you always have great questions.
Yes, just as she was talking about that too, about, you know, even home ownership, here in Jamaica, it is so hard to own a home. The process is so tedious.
Wow.
And even now, because I've thought about that process, getting into that process, and I'm so scared, like, honestly, I am so afraid.
Because is that the buying process or getting as a realtor?
Yes, just working with the realtors, the buying process, it is so... I had a friend who just after like over a year or two, almost 2 years, you know, trying to close on a home, and it was just a tooth-pulling experience. And I think even with in realtorship and all those, I think training is important. How we deal with people, how you interact with your clients is paramount. Because she had such a hard time, Miss Blair. I'm telling you,
she had such a hard time,
and it makes me so scared to go through that process.
So Lady Misty,
right realtor.
It seems as if the realtor
that's right.
Find the right realtor, yeah. Because right. my experience
right.
was very
the right realtor who has
yeah, my experience was very nice.
Okay. Yeah. So there you go. It's about experience, which goes back to Miss Blair's mantra, you know, having that right experience.
Mm-hmm. And network. So. Because you said earlier that sometimes when a person may not be able to do it, they can point you
to
in the right direction, you see. Right. So that's all, because my experience in home buying was very, very, very pleasant. I mean, I had a great time. So again, it boils down to the realtor. And
yes.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. So this segment here is soon to come to a close, but we again, we want to thank you so much. Where can we find you? Give us some information, a website, a link or anything.
Well, for real estate, you can find us at Blair Realty Group. So on www.blairrealtygroup.com. Mm-hmm. And on Facebook, you can find us on Facebook, on Instagram. We have also, you can call us on the phone at the office at 407-210-3944.
Say it once more.
407-210-3944.
Thank you.
Or directly to me would be 407-690-6916.
That sounds awesome. I tell you, folks, we are so glad for again meet another, I would say, amazing realtor. I mean, she's just phenomenal. And I must let y'all know, and I told her earlier that I'm letting the world know that when I was 7 years old, she was my first crush. right here. Look at my hair. Yes, I did. I was 7 years old.
Oh my, confession.
We were in the same school. Same church. We were twins, and she also have a twin sister as well.
Oh, and I'm a twin as well. So hey.
Yes,
I am.
Yes.
But it's
So it's really great to actually reconnect with her. My goodness, I feel so blessed. And thank you for sharing with us tonight, taking the time to come out here and be on Let's Talk Relationships. You are phenomenal, Blair and Joanne, and I'm looking forward to meet your other siblings and you on another show.
I'd be happy. All just right. Let me know when yes. you write them on.
Yes, ma'am.
Be here.
Thank you. You are phenomenal. Thank you.
That sounds great.
Yes. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys having me tonight. I had fun.
You are so welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
God bless.
Thank you. Same to you.
All righty. Good night.
Okay.
Great. Wonderful.
Quick break. We're back.
Yes, we're back. Welcome to Let's Talk Relationships. That's the show you're listening to live on You Me Radio. And we are about to go into our live moments feature. Before we do that, though, I want to say a big shout out to those over there on YouTube. I just hopped over there and they're having a party over there, DJ Keith.
Really?
Yeah. So I want to shout out all those who are over there on YouTube. I see my husband over there creating a storm. So,
and remember, hi, hubby. Remember to get the app, guys. Get the app. Go to the app store and type in one word. That's
also,
you,
guys.
ME Radio.
ME Radio. Also, yeah, so guys, Keith, so are you telling them about?
Wait. Let me say.
Go correctly. Ahead.
UME
Radio. UME
Radio. Yeah.
Right.
One word.
Also, yes. Keith, are you telling them about your top five to vote?
Yes,
vote?
My type. Vote for me, guys. Vote for me. We have a top five.
No. I'm campaigning for Lady Misty, guys. No, listen to
guys,
me now.
Listen to me. Right here. I'm the one because I went live.
We're not going to fight about this.
All live, nothing generic, nothing. It was all live. I'm telling you, it's the bomb. You got to hear my top five. It's off the chain. Off the chain.
Don't worry, Keith. I have my own following, and I know they're going to vote for me.
But I think DJ Kelly's
five,
winning
okay?
now.
I'm going to be bringing it home.
I think DJ Kelly's is
yeah, we're all, we I'm just going to blow her out of the water, okay? Yeah. I'm just going to blow her out of the water. So
guys, go to UME Radio, .com. And you can pick your five. Pick your five, top five, and see what happens.
Yeah. Lovely music to vote. So, all right. We're not going to fight here. We're going into life moments. And tonight.
I'm the winner. Okay.
We're not going to fight tonight, DJ. So, tonight, our guest tonight in life moments is Mr. Horain Henry.
Hi.
Yes. Hi.
Rochelle, why do you call me Mr.? I don't like that.
All right. Hi, Horain. How are you?
Hey, Rochelle. What's up?
All right. Just some info, DJ. So, Horain and I, we went to school together.
Okay.
Yes. So, he was actually deputy head boy. I was deputy head girl.
All right.
So,
now.
Shout out to all our YC fans. Yes, famous duo. We doing big things over here.
Watch it now.
Yes. Repping YC to the world.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Let me get my professional now. Okay. All right. So, of course, he's a product of the wonderful island of Jamaica and YC. Hey. All right. He moved to America. He's in New Jersey right now, right?
Yes.
That's where you are right now, right? All right.
Yeah.
You're in New Jersey?
Yep.
All right. Good. Right. And he moved to America where he completed his studies, earning his bachelor's and master's at New Jersey Institute of Technology.
Nice.
He's married, guys, so he's off the shelf, okay? So he's married to his wonderful wife and sweetheart, Chanel, I hope I pronounced that right.
Yeah.
And they have one energetic daughter.
All right.
Good night, Horin. It's lovely to have you with us tonight. How are
you? Thank you for the invite. I'm good. Just staying in, trying to stay safe, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's unusual for me to be home this long, but yeah, I have to be home.
All right. So you're here permanently, I'm supposing. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you know, I don't know much about you, but I know, like myself, you're bald-headed, so that's a great mind to think alike.
Yeah.
We keep it smooth and simple, don't we?
Simple does it.
Yes, that's how we do it.
So, all right, I like my hair, so
yeah.
Let me begin. I don't think I look great bald. I don't think so.
Lady Mister, the hair though, it's cool though. You know, it's a little different tonight. It's nice. It's working. I like that. You know, the hair flowing. Yeah. All right now, Lady Mister.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. So, go ahead, Missy.
All right. So, Horin, from your bio, you know, we have been reading up about you, and I know that you are, you know, doing great things in the area of technology. So, mm-hmm. What made you start your business and your journey in technology?
So ever since as a kid, basically, I've always been fascinated by computers. So pretty much for as far back as I can remember, when I used to live in Jamaica as a kid, we were one of the only people to have a computer for maybe 2 to 3 years in my cognitive memory, before mm-hmm. like my other friends started getting computers. So people would always be by my house, all of that type of stuff. Okay. Then I started pulling computers apart and started trying to learn how they all worked, all of that mm-hmm. fun stuff. And that evolved into, you know, I had family members who actually were involved in the TV and technology industry, or still are in Jamaica. So I remember back in maybe 1993 or so, when mm-hmm. cable TV first started coming to Jamaica, one of my uncles was actually the person who used to own a cable company in Portmore, which then, you know, kind of spread throughout the island.
Yeah.
So ever since then, like, I've always been around technology. And that's really what made me... really what made me pursue it. Like, I wanted to be a pilot, but then I realized, as a poor country youth, you know, the pilot, the trajectory to get into pilot school and all of that stuff, like, my parents couldn't afford it. So, the next best thing for me was, you know, engineering, and communication. So that's really where, my background came from. And I kind of just stuck with it, throughout and branched off into different areas of it.
So you still so you received a scholarship to study, or that you pretty much
no. So the thing is, well, yes and no. I received a partial scholarship. So backing up a little bit, I actually started college in Jamaica. I actually went 2 years to University of Technology,
mm-hmm.
And then I had received a partial scholarship to Howard University. Okay. As also FIU, mm-hmm. but then a lot of my family, I have family in Florida and New Jersey, and a lot of my family was more so in the New Jersey area. And then a cousin of mine, she had gone to New Jersey Institute of Technology as well, and she convinced me to go there.
Okay.
She's an architect. She's one of the few. There are 423 registered Black architects in the entire U.S., and she's one of them. So it's
We want to talk to her.
Definitely.
That's dope. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, you got to hook her brother up, all right? To make sure we talk to her. Get her on the Let's Talk relationship. Yes.
Yeah. So she convinced me to come to New Jersey, and I, you know, just went to school there, pursued my grad degree and all of that there as well. So yeah.
Okay. Wow.
So what has it been like in, you know, the world of technology, you know, with the whole move, you know, you're in a new environment, a new country. What has that been like?
Honestly, I've been here for over 13 years now. So it's been an interesting time. Like, when I got here and started going to school, you know, in a new environment, you one of the big things about living in America is if you're poor, you have to work and go to school. Like, there's no two ways about that. So for me, the big thing for me was getting into a company that actually made sense at the time, that made sense to align with what you're doing. So
right.
I was privileged enough to work for quite a few companies that, you know, helped help my trajectory in terms of where I am now. I first started out doing IT work for an Israeli-based company, but they were in the U.S. and they worked on a lot of the cellular networks for T-Mobile, Sprint at the time before Sprint merged. So I did that, and then that propelled me to actually get into work for Bell Labs. I don't know if how many people know what Bell Labs is. Is that going back into the 1800s, they were coming through that, like they were a prominent company all through then. So AT&T actually came out of Bell Labs, like Alcatel-Lucent, all of those big names. You know, it's a place where the fiber optic technology was born. So kind of getting to see all that history.
Okay.
There. And then that helped me. Actually, while there, I worked on a project when 4G LTE was coming out. I worked on a project where Verizon was the first in the U.S. to deploy that. So I was a part of that team that did the drive testing and writing documentation for that. So I got to see some cool stuff before it actually hit the market. And then that helped me to kind of gain some more skills to then go into the actual television side of things, where I started working for a company that we designed TV stations, radio stations, all that type of stuff. So
nice.
Yeah, I can build a TV station, a radio station from the ground up, like the entire technology inside of it. So it's just a lot of things that, you know, my whole going all the way back to being a child and kind of being inquisitive, pulling things apart, yes. that kind of helped me to, you know, along the way, and just picking up different things and networking with different people and all of that type of stuff. So yeah, it's been an interesting journey.
So let me ask you a question. Very interesting. You know, with your learning your skill sets and so forth, and hearing about these 5G technology and some of these microchips and nanochips and all these things that's supposedly coming forth. You know, we hear in these conspiracy theories these days about, you know, how, you know, they want to control the population with information and technology. So when you hear stuff like the chips and these things and how they're trying to, you know, maybe even mess with the vaccine and put something in our bodies, what comes to your mind? You've been in that world of, you know, the whole technical world.
It's a lot of times it's just people like to create mayhem and speak about things that they have no idea about because somebody said something and it sounded good. And, you know, it does a disservice to people to spread false information. Let's just leave it at that. We could go down to a rabbit hole of that and start picking things apart. But yeah, it just does a disservice to folks to really spread information that you know is not factually correct. And you know, just to create a buzz, so to speak.
Okay.
So we gotta talk after the show, brother.
So Horain, I know you have been doing great things in technology and with production. I mean, yeah, we've gotta talk too, because when I hear that you can build a television station from the ground up, I'm like, where have you been all my life?
Build me a TV. Right? Build me a TV.
Yes.
No. That's a little bit outside of my realm.
But I know you have been doing some work personally as well. You have a children's education company called The Cool Read. So I want to hear about that. How did that start and what's that about?
Yeah, so it's funny. One of my friends, she's Jamaican as well. She lives here in the States. She's a teacher for the Department of Education in New York.
That's up my street, so I'm excited to hear about it. Yeah.
So last April, around last March or so, she texted me a picture of some characters that she was working on. And she's like, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And I saw it, as soon as I saw the characters, I was like, we need to talk right away. So we started talking and figuring out like, hey, what are you trying to do here? Because one of the things with going back to my grad school education, like one of the things I learned about that was very, very important is intellectual property. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I saw the characters, I was like, yo, this is something that you need to trademark. So she didn't know what that was at the time. So I had to educate her on that. And we started talking about it. And then just like the whole trajectory of the characters and building stories around each character. So we started going into character development and stories and all of that. The impetus behind it was that she's a math teacher in the DOE. And the resources that they use to educate these kids are all white. So true. There's no representation for black and brown folks. So that was really what started it. So as soon as I saw the images, like, yo, we need to trademark this, because the moment we put this out, people can steal the idea and run with it. Yeah. So we went into that. We put a lot of money into it, you know, got all the images trademarked, got the logo trademarked. Awesome. We're registered business, all that type of stuff. And then we put out, so far we've put out two books. So one was Learning Numbers with Jax, and the second book that just came out is a book about manners and etiquette, right? Because, you know, the world can use some of that right now.
Always.
So that's what we're trying to do. You know, just one, offer representation in the education space, because that's very much lacking. And two, create something that is a lasting legacy, you know, and that other people can use as well.
And you know, guys, you can check them out at www.thecoolreads, right?
Yep.
Thecoolreads.com. And I actually went on the site, and I have to tell you guys need to go and check it out. The characters are really cool. Nice. I like that they're all black, and they have, I love the girls' hairs. I'm telling you, the girls' hairs are like pretty cool. And they just have these personalities. Once you look at each character, they have their own, for those who are watching, each character, beautiful. They have their own personality, and I just love it. And once you say children, I'm always interested.
I'm down. Yes.
Yes. So I am so glad. And I love their names as well. Drew, Jax, is it Callie?
Callie.
And Sage.
You know, for too long, we have taught to hate ourselves and our natural beauty.
Exactly.
And, you know, I remember hearing people say, you know, and I had to correct her later. That was actually come, my daughter's hair. And when she was come, she was like saying, ouch. And she was like, you nasty. I'm thinking, what do you say? Well, because of my daughter, you're saying you're combing her hair with that fine tooth comb. And she's in pain, and you're saying she's nasty. How do you coincide those things? So I realized that there's a bad seed that's been planted. You know, young to make them feel as if they're not good enough.
Yeah.
You know, so you have this good hair thing, bad hair thing, nice hair, not known. And it's really crazy. So when I see things like these that are so authentic and so natural, it takes you right back to where we ought to be and where we're supposed to be, and be thinking about not only ourselves, but what we leave back for our kids and how they'll see themselves, you know? So I commend you, brother. I commend you. Really do.
Oh, thank you. Thank
I really
you.
Do for what you're doing.
Yeah, it's awesome. I really you also do some work with Icon Media.
Yeah, so that's...
What's that about?
That's a company I co-founded with one of my childhood friends as well. So one of the things with me is I try to bring people along with me who are of the same mindset. Yeah. And I try to collaborate with people who are in my space. You know, if I can do something with my friends or family members, that's kind of just the way I am, because you know, that's the way the other folks do it. You know, they look out for their own. So why should we be any different? Should we be the ones who are fighting? You know, we say in Jamaica, fight against one another. You know, so I don't believe in that. So yeah, I co-founded a media production company because 11 years ago. We realized that, hey, you know, we have friends who are in the media space or coming out of school. They don't really have a place to land. So we decided like, hey, let's go at this and create something that, you know, that we could give people an opportunity. So, you know, the kids from NCU. So my friend at the time had just moved to Mandeville to attend NCU. And worked in the media group there. So we started and, you know, started doing little gigs here and there, hiring some of the interns from the school to come along on productions with us. We were privileged enough to go to Barbados to shoot a film. It went around the entire world, won a couple of awards. From awesome. There, you know, kind of put our own money in, built up over time. Got some recognition. We won 2 film awards in Jamaica as well in 2015. Nice. And we've just been constantly building up. The latest project we've been working on is with Yendi Phillips, actually. Yendi's a good friend of mine. We kind of connected through this whole creative space as well. Mm-hmm. We put our heads together, and I'm one of the exec producers on her show, Odyssey with Yendi, Untold Journeys. So there have been, I think, well, how many did we put out so far? 5. There are 5 episodes out on YouTube right now on Yendi's channel. You can check it out.
Nice.
So,
I've seen them.
Where are you based right now?
I'm in Jersey, but so funny enough, one of the reasons I said, you know, it sucks that I'm at home so long is I'm never, like, I'm on a plane at least twice a month for the most part. And with things that were becoming so active in Jamaica with the company and productions, so I was flying back and forth a lot. And then COVID happened.
Okay.
So in between my day job.
Got it. So the media company is based in Jamaica?
Yes.
Got you. Okay. Wow. Yeah. I'll definitely check that out. Sounds pretty exciting, man. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. So do you work with families, your brothers, sisters, or pretty much close family in this
for the media company?
Yeah.
No, it's just my friends. Like, he probably, we're practically brothers at this point. We've known, we're in diapers. But yeah, it's just friends. Family, I do stuff with here. So my brother-in-law is a musician, and I do stuff for him, like do videos and produce music with them. But that's about it. Yeah, just kind of have my hands in quite a few different places.
Wow.
So yes.
Very eclectic young man.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's how we stay out of trouble, so to speak.
I know Horain because we have been working together because we're also a part of a scholarship fund together. So, but why did you choose to come back to Jamaica to do business?
I was born there. You know, it's where my heart will always be. There's opportunity there for growth. One of the big things for me is that, and again, I'm going to use a colloquial expression. A bunch of people don't always get a bus. You know what I mean?
Yes. So, yes.
It's hard. Like, for us, we really just started getting recognition the last year and a half. Because one of our main clients is a Jamaica Tourist Board, right? Mm-hmm. We do a lot of work for them, but people don't really know that it's us that does the work.
Yeah.
But people, you know, in the industry, once you start moving in certain circles, the Kingstonians who, you know, occupy a lot of that space, they start to recognize you. So it's through that now that we're like, all right, you know, we're doing something impactful. let's continue to push to do as much as we can so that, you know, right. again, we can bring others with us, because there are people who have the talent, but they don't have the exposure. Mm-hmm. And you just True. Need somebody to open that door for you to, you know, so you can get that exposure.
Yeah. And it has been a good experience so far.
It has been a good experience. It has been a trying experience. There are many mm-hmm. times that I spend my last dime to, you know, mm-hmm. we need to get something and it has yeah. to get done. So I spend my last dime on it and people see you and think you have money, but, you know, they don't know that you just spent your last dollar to make something happen.
To make it work.
You know, yeah. that's profound, because Coach can always say that if you're not willing to risk it all,
yeah,
you know, you probably shouldn't go in it.
Yeah.
And you know, as I listen to you talk about different things that you do and how you, I'm here where you do it with a sense of completion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get it done, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
So how do you, well, actually I would say in this whole process here of you building and growing in this area, what was the defining moment that you said, boy, this was maybe a breaking point. I gave up. I wanted to just quit, but I couldn't. You know, there must have been some of those days.
Oh, absolutely. That you've had.
So how would you address that to maybe folks who are looking to do what we do, what you do,
mm-hmm.
and expanding, being their own as an entrepreneur and building?
Oh, man. Like, there's so many points in there that, like, I could vividly wow. remember. Like, in my day job, for example, there are times where, you know, when I first graduated school, I graduated school in a recession. I couldn't get a job.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Wow.
I took menial jobs. I was working. I've worked at a movie theater. I've served popcorn. I've cleaned the floors. You know, I've done that. I've climbed behind those billboards in Times Square that you'll see on the street.
Wow.
I've climbed behind those. I've cleaned those. I've installed modules. Like, you know, you think it's all glamorous and fancy, but it's not. Like, there are times where you're literally out there like, all right. I remember this one time, it was maybe around 2012. It was winter. It was a winter storm and we had to get a sign clean and put up. And I am wow. outside in negative 12 degrees and it's...
Oh my God.
Snowing.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah.
And you're wondering, like, why am I doing this, you know?
No, that's the moment there. That's the moment. Yeah. That's I'm just call it unforgettable moment. But yeah. let me ask you this question. If I was being outside looking onto or into Icon Media,
mm-hmm.
what am I going to see? Tell me, just bring me into your world, man. Let me, as a new person, what is Icon Media bring? Tell us about you guys, what you do.
So we are a group of young people. There's five guys of us and one young lady who basically all come from country.
Okay.
We put our heads together to create content. So we're a content creation company. We do mm-hmm. ads, short films. So film is really our specialty. Mm-hmm. So anything that's a narrative. So we do short films. We do long form films. We do documentaries. Mm-hmm. That's really what our mainstay is content okay. creation that is along the narrative line. Like, we do some music videos sometimes, mostly for friends, close friends. So like one of our really close friends, Dale, mm-hmm. he's an up and coming artist in Jamaica right now. So mm-hmm. one of his famous songs is "I'm from Kingston."
Oh gosh,
what was the one he did for Shellyann again? I think it's Run Shelly is the name of the song when Shelly mm-hmm. Broke the record last year. Mm-hmm. So like Adele is somebody who his proper name is Adele Thomas, mm-hmm. but his stage name is Dale. So Adele is somebody who we work with a lot just because, again, he's been a friend forever. So
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
he's in our space. Right. We work on music, but pretty much anything that comes down to storytelling, narratives, talk show type of stuff, like more organic type of things, that's yeah. really our specialty.
Right. Okay,
very nice. I like it. I love it.
So you deal with both international and local clients?
Yes.
So how do you find a work ethic, you know, from a cultural perspective? How would you compare?
It depends. So you have local clients in Jamaica who have been exposed to the international scene as well. They understand the mindset of, okay,
right,
we're working on this schedule, we're working on this deadline, we're going to get this done, et cetera, et cetera. Then you have others who don't really appreciate what you do and just see you as somebody with a camera or a cameraman, so to speak, you know? They don't understand the creative process that goes in behind the scenes, all of that type of stuff. And, you know, they expect you to do work for little to nothing, and they don't value the work. And then they'll have the most talk after the project's done. It's like, oh, you know, I want this and that. So, you know, we see it all.
Wow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Let's Talk Relationships. We're here with Horain Henry. Yeah. And I tell you, we're having a fantastic time, guys. This moment, this is called the Life Moments. And we're definitely getting some good insights and some good, good conversation here. And a young man, you know, with a team of folks that has a vision that is expanding this. And, you know, it's something about collaborating and networking that I think is a beautiful thing. And that's, I think, it. More Black and brown folks need to get together like this,
yeah,
and build, you know, build for our generations to come and create a mark like the song that Beyonce sang. So as we're about to wrap this section up, I want to ask you a question, man. Mm-hmm. What would you consider? In fact, I'm going to let Misty ask this question. Go ahead, Misty. Ask this question here before we wrap it up.
Oh, yes. We have a question from a viewer that's saying, you know, is he saying he came to Jamaica? He came and gave Jamaicans opportunities, but no one knew of them until he started working there. So they're asking, is it a case where no one knew of your company until you started working in New Jersey? Or is it a case where, you know, they knew of you a long time and, you know?
No. So I think they misunderstood what I said. So
okay.
What I said is that we have been building for a while, but it takes a while to break into certain spaces. So once you start breaking into those spaces, people start recognizing who you are. So for example, right? A lot of people didn't know last year when the Reggae Girls qualified for the World Cup. So ESPN came to Jamaica to shoot a feature on the Reggae Girls, which was shown right before the World Cup. And my team did that.
Nice.
Yeah. So So ESPN flew down. They didn't have a crew. It's funny how small the world is. Like, one of my business partners, he worked at Sportsmax, and they contacted him because they had seen the work that he had done. Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, it all came back around, and you know, we did that feature for ESPN. It was shown across the world. And then people started seeing that, and they were like, oh, they inquired about, like, who did that, you know, or something like of the sort. And that's kind of how, you know, as your work starts getting more and more out there, people start to know who you are by breaking into certain spaces.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Awesome. So you talk about defining moments. Some of those are defining moments.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's sound defining moment. Yeah. That's definitely defining. Awesome. Ah, wonderful. So today's tip for great relationships, Misty?
A woman with dreams need a woman with vision.
No, say it again, Miss. Let me see. That sounds good.
Yeah. A woman with dreams needs a woman with vision.
Yes.
And so, Horain, before you go, in a sentence, what would you tell those upcoming entrepreneurs who, you know, want to get their break and want to start their own businesses, and how important is networking for them?
Oh yeah. So absolutely. I definitely say it's a lot of hard work. There's going to be tears. there's going to be frustrations. But what you definitely need to do is don't try to go it alone. Even if you're a solo entrepreneur, try to get people around you who can encourage you, who have something to offer you, that, you know, so the times when you feel down, you know, they could be, they could be there to lift you up.
Yeah.
Also, have a plan, as you alluded to earlier, Rochelle. Write it down. Don't just That's have right. it in your head. Write it down. Mm-hmm. Go it over, because then you can really see, all right, this is where I want to get to. I want to get to New York. I'm in Florida. How do I chart my way from Florida to New York? You know,
but definitely
write it down. Yeah.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, this has been a great segment. Miss, don't you think?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. We want to really, really thank our guest tonight, Joan Blair. Awesome realtor and just doing it big in Florida and all over the world, as she says. And this great gentleman here, Horan Henry? Henry, yes. Yeah. We thank you for being here. Where can we find you? Give us some information there, a website, a number.
You can really reach me at www.thecoolreads.com or www.iconmediaja.com. Icon is spelled with a K, so ICON mediaja.com.
Thank you.
Okay.
Great. Thanks awesome. Well, I had a good time.
Thank you so much, Horan. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you again, Joanne Blair and Horan Henry.
Let's talk.
Relationships. On You Me Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE,
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.